How many of you know what a rhema moment is? A rhema moment. How about a rhema experience? What's rhema? Does anybody know what rhema is? Anybody? Thank you, sweetheart. That's what I sent her out for, was the prayer sheet. Does anybody know what a rhema is? How about a remnant? Okay. A piece, right? A piece. Well, that has absolutely nothing to do with a rhema. Because remnant is English. Rhema is Greek. Rhema means word. Rhema means speak. Rhema means change. Okay? And whenever the word rhema is used in the Scripture, especially in the Scripture, it's used in a direct response that God's word is a rhema. How many of you in your life would like to have a word moment? In other words, God speaking directly into your life. Okay, a rhema moment. Because for the next couple of weeks, this is what we're going to be talking about. Remember, here through the season of Lent, we're talking about healing. And healing only comes through the Word of God. Okay? Healing does not come because you did something. Healing only comes because God speaks it into being. All right? And I want us to understand that God wants to speak into our lives. God wants to speak to each and every one of us. He wants to speak to His creation. How do we know that? Well, if you look at the very first chapter of our Bible, you will find that when He created man, where did He dwell? Did He dwell in heaven above it all? Or did He come down into His creation to be with man, to walk with him, to talk with him? In fact, I think that's what He was trying to do when Adam ran away from Him and hid from Him. Do we remember that? God wanted to have a conversation. God wanted rhema with Adam. And He is longing to share His rhema, His word, okay? He is longing to speak to us. He's longing to help us to change. And today, and over these next couple weeks, we're going to be looking at just what it means to have that rhema moment. And it's my prayer that as we come to the end of this time, as we come to Easter, we're going to see how when the Word is spoken into our lives, we truly become alive. Because before rhema is spoken into our lives, before the Word is spoken into our lives, truly, truly, I say to you, we are dead. So let us look into rhema. What does it mean? Where does it come from? How do we begin to experience God's Word in our lives? Well, how many of you carry a Bible or have it in some format on your person, even now? You know, I know there are several of you here that you carry your Bibles, you go everywhere, and then there are some of you who don't carry a Bible, but yet you have the Bible with you at all times because it's on your iPhone. And that's an okay thing, you know, because I have people who are sitting here texting the whole time I'm talking. No, they're reading their scriptures is what they're doing, okay? And there's, you know, I don't want anybody to think, well, why are they playing with their phone? They're not playing with their phone. They're literally in the Word with us, okay? It means that much to some folks that they have it electronically, that it's there with them at all times. And that's a good thing. Technology can be good. Amen? Technology can be bad. Amen?
Amen?
It depends upon how we utilize it. But today I want you to utilize it in a good manner. I want you to turn close to the front of the Bible. We're going to go to Exodus. Because I want us to understand that to have a rhema experience, to have God's Word come into our lives, there are a couple of things that have to happen. The first is we need to be active about seeking God. Now, we may not know that we're seeking God, because no one seeketh God, no, not one. Okay? But God will bring circumstances into your life that you have no idea what you're seeking, or rather whom you're seeking, but you're seeking something. I want you to think about that, because how many of us are seeking something every moment of our lives? We're all seeking for betterment, aren't we? We're all seeking for better health. We're all seeking for better position. We're all seeking for the good of our families and what have you. We're all seeking something. And it's in the midst of that seeking, guess who's going to find us? In the book of Exodus, chapter 3. The book of Exodus. Chapter 3. Now, this is not a new scripture to any of us by any means, because, you know, we've been through this many times, and I spent a great deal in the book of Exodus years ago, and now I'm bringing it back here to you just as a place to begin looking at what it means. And Exodus 3 here, if you have the same Bible I do, it's called the Burning Bush. Okay, how many of us are looking, when we look for God to speak to us, we're looking for that burning bush. You know, we have to have that dramatic thing, right? Well, was Moses looking for a burning bush when he found the burning bush? I think that's the most hilarious part of it. Moses wasn't, we're all looking for the burning bush. Moses was tending sheep. He didn't care about a burning bush. He didn't care about anything. But all of a sudden, he saw something afar off. Let's see what happens. From verse 1, it says, "Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, 'I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up.' When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here am I.' Then he said, 'Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground.' And he also said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Now, we all know that when God spoke there to Moses, after he had spoken to Moses, Moses' life was changed, wasn't it? That's why when we speak of Rhema, change is tied to it, because it's a word spoken that changes its receiver. And when we think about the Word of God and how God wants to heal us, God wants to change us. How many of us want God to change our circumstance? How many of us want God to change the people around us to conform to our image? God wants us to conform to Him. God wants us to come near to Him, to receive a word from Him. Gee, I think we were talking about that today. Y'all need to come to discipleship. I'm serious. That place should be packed. I mean, it is pretty full, but it should be packed, because God is in this church and He is speaking a word to this church. And you want to hear the Word of God? You want to be changed by the Word of God? You want to receive the Word of God? It doesn't come in a preaching. It comes in a study where you're getting into it with your brothers and sisters, iron sharpening iron, because the only iron here is me. And we don't work it out. I just tell you the way it is. But today, I want us to understand God wants to be that iron sharpening our iron. He has a word, a rhema, that He wants to speak into your life. But we need to understand He's going to put something in your life that you're going to be looking into. Moses here was tending sheep, his father-in-law's sheep. He had a responsibility. The sheep that were out there in that pasture, they were his responsibility. What's going to happen to those sheep if he walks up on that mountain? Well, they're going to scatter. They're going to go everywhere, aren't they? We get so wrapped up in our world. We get so wrapped up in the things around us that all this is all so important that I've got to keep all my attention here. Ah. God's going to use that to get your eye on something else, because He's got a plan for you. Do you want to be in God's will? That's a question we all have to ask. How can we be in God's will if we have an agenda? How can God speak a word into our lives if our agenda is so important that we're not willing to let it go for just a moment, not forever, for just a moment, and look at something else? I had a young lady talking with me the other day, and she said to me, she said, you know, somebody told me this, and I thought, well, you know what? I better do that, because that might be God talking to me. I applauded her. Because how do you know? How do you not know? You don't. But are you willing to risk it? Are you willing to take the chance? Moses saw the bush. He could have just said, huh, isn't that cool? And went on his way, amen? How many of us can say that has not happened to us? We have no idea because we didn't take the moment. Are we going to take the moment that are necessary to get us to where, you know, God couldn't talk to Moses down there with the sheep. God needed to get him on holy ground. And isn't that what the scripture there just said? Did you read that? Did we read that? He needed to get Moses on holy ground. How many of us are on holy ground? How many of us are at a place where God can even begin to talk to us? You see, God is holy. And He needs to get us to a place. And that place oftentimes is not a physical place. It's a spiritual place where we are focusing on Him. How do you think Moses felt when he heard a bush talking to him? I bet he was like, this is what? I'm going to dig that sucker up and we're going to make millions. Yeah, cool. And then the bush declared that it was God. How would you like that? I mean, come on. A bush is telling you it's God. But I'll guarantee you it changed Moses, didn't it? If a bush started talking to me, I think I would believe it was God. And I do believe I'd have the same feeling that Moses did, and I would look not at it for fear of looking into the face of my Creator. Could you imagine how he felt on holy ground? Can you imagine how insignificant he really felt in that moment? And yet God didn't reject him. God received him. You see, when God speaks into our lives, when God gives us a rhema moment, it's not to destroy us and stomp us out, but it's to bring us low and bring us near, that He may lift us up. Because I want you to think about this. What happened to Moses? Moses was a prince of Egypt. He had it all, didn't he? I mean, he was a Hebrew. He should have been dead. He should have been one of the ones that was killed. And he was raised as a prince of Egypt. And then he dared to think more of himself because he knew he was chosen for something better. And all of a sudden he finds himself out in the wilderness, a prince of Egypt, tending sheep. How many of us think we're all that? And all of a sudden reality slips in and we ain't so much. But isn't it amazing that in that mix, that's where God says, now let me show you who I want you to be. And He took Moses and He used Moses to deliver His people out of Egypt. What's God want to do with your life? What does He have for you? What does he want to bring you into that's going to deliver others? Remember, we look at life so differently because we want it to be all about us. God says, man, would you get those thoughts out of your mind? It's not about you. It's about others. I want to use you to better the world, not build a name for yourself. I want you to lift my name. And this isn't Pastor Rich. We're talking about God, right? And in lifting him, God raises us up and gives us more responsibility and gives us more to do. But then we get to pour it all out and give it to others that they too can be lifted up and raised up. You see, the word of God is not meant just to be stored in your life. So many of us, we have these repositories that we pack everything away in. God says, no, 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 no. When I give my word, when I give you my word, it is to go out from you. Because it has power, not just unto you, but unto all that would hear it, unto all that would receive it. The word of Moses, the word that God spoke to Moses, how powerful was it? It was so powerful that it affected an entire nation to the point where their army was completely destroyed and a whole new nation was birthed. He spoke that into one man. What's he want to speak to you? What's he want to change in you? What's he want to do with you that's going to affect millions? Well, you see, Moses isn't the only one who was out there and seeking God. Of course, he had no idea he was seeking God. There have been many others. And we need to understand that God uses where we are and what's happening with us to get us where he wants us to be. What do I mean by that? Well, look in 1 Kings. Turn to 1 Kings. Turn to 1 Kings. We are going to be in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. We're going to be talking about a friend of ours. One day we'll all get to meet him and talk to him. But he's a brother of ours, just as Moses is. And this brother, it's kind of funny because when you think about this brother, Elijah, here's this guy, and like I said, we're in chapter 19, and we're going to begin in verse 3. But here's this brother that, he's walking with the Lord. This guy is walking with the Lord. How many of you in this room are walking with the Lord right now? Okay, yeah, every hand should be up. We're walking with the Lord, right? Now, does walking with the Lord mean we got it all right? Do you think God needs to get us out of our where we are to his where he wants us to be? Okay, it's kind of neat because here's Elijah, okay? And or Elijah, okay? It's the J-A-H, okay? Elisha comes through Elijah. And here's this guy. He just saw God do something miraculous, okay? He challenged the Baal worshipers. And they built two altars. And they, the Baal worshipers, they sacrificed and they were cutting themselves. And they got the whole day to do everything, and nothing happened. And Elijah even gets smart with him and says, well, maybe he's relieving himself. That's literally what the scripture says. He's going to the bathroom. Maybe your God can't answer because he's in the toilet. But then Elijah gets his chance in the evening at the time of sacrifice, the appropriate time for sacrifice. He gets his time, and he tells him, he says, now, bring me a whole bunch of water. He digs a trench around this thing. He had arranged the stones which had been knocked down, and he has them pour water over the wood. And he gets them to fill them a second time, and he pour wood water over the wood. They pour water until the trench is full. And then he calls upon the name of the Lord, and God sends fire down from heaven, and it doesn't just burn up the offering. It burns up the stones and licks up the water. Man, I'm telling you, did he just have a rhema moment? No, he didn't. Because what happened to him? As soon as that happened, he ran to the desert to hide because Jezebel said, as you did unto my prophets, I'm going to do unto you. Because remember, at the end of that, they slew the prophets of Baal. And he became afraid of a woman. He just saw the power of God, and he became afraid of a woman. Men, I'm talking to you. We need to understand God is far more powerful than anything in our lives, than anyone in our lives. And we need to get that right relationship. So Elijah, okay, just saw God do something miraculous, and he runs. Let's catch up with him from verse 3. And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is now enough. O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's." He lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, "Arise and eat." And then he looked, and behold, there at his head was a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of the Lord, or strength of the food, 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Boy, there seems to be a theme here. There's something about getting up to that mountain, isn't it? Okay? And I want you to understand, was the power that he needed in the words of the angels? There was some power there. There was some power there because he got food to restore him. Okay, God will send people into your life. You need to understand this. God will send people into your life to direct you and to give you a little bit of help and assistance to get you to where He needs you to be. That's what we're here for, right? That's what the church is here for. But we're not God. We need to get the people to God. That's what the angel's job was, to get the people, to get him to God. And as we are that person, okay, we're being part of God's plan. But God still has a rhema that He wants to speak into this person's life. I don't want any of us to think that, oh, well, we're going to be the rhema. I'm going to be the rhema that speaks to Bob, right? You know, God told me to tell you. God wants to talk to Bob. He's going to talk to Bob. Okay, God wants to talk to Root. Is he going to talk to me? Probably. That way you'll listen. Okay. But God wants to speak that personal word into our lives. He's going to use others around us, right? Let's understand that. But God wants, and I want you to understand this. This is important. God wants that personal contact with each of us. He loves you that much. He knows your name. And guess what? He wants to speak it. Do you want to hear him? Do you want to hear him? Let's find out what Elijah did.
Then he came there to a cave, because he arose and had gone to the mountain of God. He came to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the rhema of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life, to take it away. Woe is me! I'm doing all these good things, and God, look!
Ain't none of us ever been there, right?
Why is all this bad stuff happening to me? I'm such a good person. I pray every day. I read the Bible. I go to church. I put my tithe in. Great.
Are you listening for God? Are you getting to where He wants you to be, or are you on His, or are you on your schedule? He had to go to Horeb. He had to go to, I just think that's amazing. He eats two pieces of bread and drinks some water and he goes for 40 days. How many of us could do that? Talk about some supernatural stuff going on. God wants us to depend upon Him. How many of us are willing to depend upon God or depend upon ourselves? Okay, there's some spiritual principles here. I pray that you guys read these scriptures after I've taught them, because I can't teach every piece. If I did, we'd be here forever. Not that I would mind that, but I think God would, because He wants us out there doing the work of this stuff. Okay. But here's this man, woe is me, hiding in a cave, just saw God bring fire down from heaven, right? This is what God does. He said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord was passing by. Wow. How many of us, do you know what it means to have the Lord pass by? It means God was going to make His presence known. He was going to pass by. He was coming your way. He's coming to you. But God can't stick around us too long, because if He did, it would probably kill us. So all we can take of Him is a little pass by. I think that happened to Moses, didn't it? If God stuck around, how much of us would be left? None. But you see, God wants us to yet be left. He wants our personality. He wants our relationship. So look what He says. He says, and a great strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a rhema came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah was once again changed, transformed to the man that God wanted him to be. We need to understand in our lives there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to happen. Amen? Okay, we're going to be looking for God. How many of us look for God in the big stuff? We look for God in the storms of life. How many, you know, I passed a church. We've all probably passed several churches. They got all those nice little signs out there. Some of them are pretty cool. Passed one for quite a week, few days or weeks or whatever. It says, if you're praying to God when you're in trouble, we're in trouble. Okay? And isn't that what we do? During the storms of life, that's when we pray to God, right? During the earthquakes, during the fires. And I want you to think about that. Here's our Almighty God. Is He in those things? Not here for Elijah. Why? Because Elijah had just experienced a huge moment. The fire licked up everything. That's a huge moment. And for Elijah, even though he was there in the name of God, Elijah forgot God. So to God, Elijah had refused Him and said, what was that all about? I just showed you something huge. He said, and if that's not going to get you, then you need to get right with me. And I'm going to whisper. We need to get quiet. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now. If you want God in the big moments of your life, you've got to be willing to accept Him in the small ones. Because if we can't accept Him in the small ones, do you think He wants to be there in the big ones? He knows we get ourselves into trouble. How many of you, the trouble that you're in, you created? In some way, shape, or form, you helped it. You pushed it along. You went with it. Oh, but you don't understand. Yes, I do. Been there myself. Have no excuses. Okay? The sauce on the goose is the same sauce on a gander. But God says, receive me in the little things. Look for me in the small stuff. And you'll find me in the big things. And walk with me through it all. And Elijah was changed. And he anointed two kings. And he set another prophet up who would take his place and drive Israel forward. You see, when we're willing to allow God to use us, He will use us not for us, but for others. He will speak to us in such a way that is going to bless us to be a blessing and change our world. We need to come out of the thinking of this world and into the thinking of the kingdom. That God wants to speak to us. God has a rhema for us that is going to bring us into place with Him. Okay? We don't ask God to conform to us. For we are sinful men and women. Amen? But we need to ask God to help us conform to Him. And if we're going to receive that healing, because that's the only healing that there is to be transformed. You know, we all want to be healed, right? We all want to have the good relationship at home. We all want to have the good things going on in our lives. We don't want to have the troubles. We don't want to have the pain. But yet we want to keep all our stuff, right? How many of us want to give up our stuff to get better? Do you know that's what it takes? You want to get better? Give it up. If you want to keep it, God's going to let you have it, but guess what? All the crud comes with it. Okay? You choose. I think that's the awesome part about God. He says, I am here to bring healing into your life. I am here to restore. Now, this is funny because this is a rhema moment for two people or for two different settings. The one is a personal rhema and the other is a group rhema. Okay, I need you to understand something. Sometimes God does speak to a group. Okay, other times God speaks to an individual. Because God's word can be used to impel a whole bunch of people, and God's word can be used very personally. And that's why I wanted to choose this one. Because number one, it dealt with our Lord Jesus. And number two, it dealt with His disciples. And that's us. Okay, but this is kind of cool. Let's read this. From chapter 14, beginning in 22nd verse. It says, immediately made His disciples get into a boat and go ahead of Him to the other side. We're talking about the Sea of Galilee. They had just fed 5,000 people and Jesus was sending them on, but Jesus was getting ready to do something. Again, remember, I said we need to be active in seeking God, okay? And we know here that Elijah was active in seeking God. He was going on his way and he went to Horeb and we know that Moses was on his way. He went to the bush. He didn't have any idea what he was going after. Okay? Elisha was actually running from something. Jesus knew what he was doing. Three different circumstances. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. You see, Jesus got away. Jesus wanted to receive a word from God. So Jesus got away. How many of us need to get away, to get alone, so that the world is out of the picture and we are quiet and we can concentrate on the one whom we're trying to seek. Because our world has a way of throwing all kinds of stuff at us, doesn't it? We've got this coming at us. We've got that coming at us. You know, I just think it's so amazing because I look at our young people and, you know, they're constantly multitasking. They'll be having a conversation with you, texting this person, and on the phone with somebody else. Okay? It's like, what? You know, my son, you know, I just love it because he'll be working on something, having a conversation with his girlfriend, and there's music blaring in the background. And I'm like, something's got to go. You know, chewing bubble gum, talking and walking is hard for me. So I want us to understand that there are times, Jesus shows us here, that we need to send everybody away and get alone. Jesus purposely sought God here, all right? He was active about it. And he went up on the mountain and he was praying. He was alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. I love that. How many of the winds in our lives are contrary? Don't you love? How would you like to? This is a storm, people. It ain't contrary. This is horrible. But I love the word of God. It was contrary. What? Contrary to what they wanted. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." Wow. There's power. I got goosebumps on top of goosebumps right now. There's power in that word. Jesus went alone to be with God, and God spoke a word into his life. And what did Jesus do? He didn't walk around the lake. He walked over it. How many of us in our life, we got to walk around this stuff, walk around this stuff. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. God wants us to get through it. Because if we try to get around it, if we try to get over it, if we try to get under it, you're coming back to this puppy until you get through it. And God's going to give us the power to get through it. We're at 40 minutes. I got to end. When we see that Jesus took that opportunity, we need to understand he's telling us to take the opportunity. And as he walked across that water, he ran into his disciples. Do you think that was by accident? Okay, and they said, "Oh my God, it's a ghost." Well, they were kind of right. It was the Holy Ghost. Okay? And God wants to speak to us through the Holy Ghost. He wants the Holy Spirit through us to take a word out into this world that's going to have power. And the disciples were there, and he said, "Don't be afraid, it's me." You know, if God spoke to us, how many of us would be terrified? God says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." He doesn't come to harm us. He comes to change us. He comes to empower us. He comes to strengthen us, to lift us up. And I love Peter. Does Peter say, "Go away"? He says, "Lord, if that is you, give me a rhema. Speak a word to me, Lord." And the Lord speaks a word. I love this because the Lord got away to talk to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to his people. Now, is that... that is some compounding there. Do you get that? The Lord got away to speak to the Lord, and then the Lord came to speak to us in the power of the Lord. There is some spiritual stuff happening there in dynamics that I can't even begin to comprehend. But I know this. When he spoke to Peter and said, "Come," Guess who had the exact same power to walk out on that water as the Lord Himself? When God passes a word through another person, the power is not diminished, it is equal. So when God speaks that word into your life to get you where He wants you to be, and you take that word out and take that message out, it has the exact same power upon the hearers that it has had on you. And we need to understand that we've got to be looking for that. We've got to be getting involved in actively seeking that. Because in that, God's going to use each of us to heal. How many of us were the only one in this boat? Peter was the only one in that boat, right? Peter was the only one who had guts enough to speak up. And when he did, he received the rhema. When God speaks into your life a word of healing, a word of change, okay, He's speaking it because there are other people who are in the boat too. They just don't realize that you're there with them. But when you recognize them and you speak to them, you bring healing into their lives. How many of you have ever noticed that? That God keeps putting these people into my life with the same kind of issues that I have. Do you think there's a reason for that? He wants to use you to help those people. He wants to utilize you to get them to the place of rescue, of health, of healing. He wants to use you to speak a rhema into the lives of those around you. But we need to be active in seeking God. So today, that's my point. If you want God to speak a word of healing into your life, you need to be active in seeking God. You need to be actively involved in checking the things out around you. You need to get some time alone with God, okay? And no matter what circumstances are happening around you, yeah, that's my mic cord. No matter what circumstances are happening around you, don't take your eyes off of the Lord. Remember, He's the Lord of everything. And your circumstance is certainly not too big. What do you think? Did it preach? Did it hit home? I hope it did, because next week, Brother David's going to preach. And Brother David, he's got an awesome sermon. He's going to put this one on a different shelf, on a different level, because Brother David is going to be talking about the fact that God wants to speak a rhema regardless of our circumstances. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of us think that, but I'm already working for the Lord. I'm doing everything the Lord wants me. Huh? You think so? Come back next week and find out. Father God, we thank You that You want to speak a rhema into each of our lives, that You want to bring that word into our lives to help heal us and transform us. Because, Lord, truly the greatest healing of us is to become once again the image that we were prior to sin in our lives. And Lord Jesus, we understand that You are the fullness of that image, come in flesh. So Lord God, we accept You, we accept Your word into our lives, and we pray that You would change us as You speak that very personal rhema and bring us the hope of glory. For Lord, in Your word is the healing of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.